History at Hand, revision at your fingertips. Why did tension increase in the years up to the start of the First World War? We know that war broke out in the summer of 1914 following the assassination in Sarajevo of Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria, but that can only be the spark which caused the war, so we have to look deeper and find out what longer-term reasons were in play which caused this tension to increase. This podcast will focus on three key areas: the development of the alliance system, the arms races on land at sea, and finally the crises in Morocco and in the Balkans which led to the tension which contributed to the outbreak of war. On a basic level, the alliance system was about two competing alliances, one called the Triple Alliance and another called the Triple Entente. The Triple Alliance consisted of Germany, Austria and Italy, although Italy never fought on that side in the First World War. The other side was the Triple Entente, which consisted of France, Russia and Britain. Our story of the alliances needs to start in 1870-1871 with the Franco-Prussian War. In this war, the French were defeated, their Emperor Napoleon III had to abdicate, and a new German Empire was created. Notably, the proclamation of the German Empire was made in the Palace of Versailles in the Hall of Mirrors. Under Otto von Bismarck, the great German Chancellor, the Germans sought to create an alliance system which would isolate France and ensure that Germany was strong enough with allies to be able to actually sustain its existence. Germany had taken Alsace-Lorraine from France. They were determined to get that back. Bismarck's greatest fear, though, was that Germany would have to fight a war on two fronts, against France in the west and potentially Russia in the east. In 1873, the Dreikaiserbund was signed between Germany, Austria-Hungary and Russia. This was just a loose confederation, but kept the three eastern empires together. A more significant alliance came in 1879, when a military alliance called the Dual Alliance was signed between Germany and Austria. This was extended in 1882 to also incorporate Italy. We know Bismarck's aim was to isolate the French and prevent them from getting revenge, but what of Austria-Hungary? Why did they want to sign this alliance with Germany, a country which they had been in war with only 10 years earlier? The Austrians were concerned about two main things. The first was the growing tide of nationalism in Eastern Europe. The second was a fear of Russia. Austria-Hungary was made up of a whole range of different nationalities: Czechs, Slovaks, Germans, Hungarians, Serbs, Croats, Slovenians, Poles, just to name a few. During the 19th century, there was a growing tide of nationalism which had swept aside Turkish rule in Eastern Europe, and this had led to the creation of a variety of new states, including Serbia. The Serbs wanted to unite with other Serbs in Austria-Hungary. As a result of that, it led to increased tension. If Austria was to lose its Serbian territory, then the whole empire could collapse. The Italians joined with Austria-Hungary and Germany in order to show their great power status and to try and gain colonies overseas without Britain and France interfering. While Bismarck was Chancellor of Germany, he was keen to ensure that Russia and France would never get together. He had a reinsurance treaty with the Russians in 1887, but when a new Kaiser, Wilhelm II, came along, he had different aims for German foreign policy. Aims which would bring it into conflict not just with France and Russia, but also with Britain. The Kaiser believed that with German economic might, it should also have a much greater role in the world. It should have more colonies overseas, and it should also have a great navy. These things Bismarck didn't agree with, and he was forced to resign in 1890. Only 4 years later, the French and the Russians signed the Dual Entente. That was the start of the alliance rivals to the Triple Alliance. France and Russia had both felt isolated as a result of Bismarck's policies, and that isolation actually brought them closer together. France wanted to get Alsace-Lorraine back and revenge on Germany. For the Russians, they were still not as strong as they could be and wanted technical and military support in case they went to war against Austria. The Russians had a role to play in the Balkans, where they, as the chief Slav nation, felt a responsibility for the other Slav nationalities there. This led to Russian support for Serbia, and as a result of that, Russian hostility towards Austria. Up until the 1890s, it seemed like Britain and France had little in common. Indeed, a Across the world, they were rivals for colonial possessions. In 1898, an incident at Fashoda almost led to war between the two countries. That was in Sudan. Britain were also wary of Russia, because Russia could threaten Britain's imperial possessions in Asia, particularly the jewel in the crown of India. At the turn of the 20th century, Britain abandoned its traditional policy of splendid isolation and decided to side with, first of all, Japan, but then Russia and France too. This was in most part due to a fear of Germany. Germany was a great trading rival to Britain, and also was starting to build a navy, and on top of that was wanting colonial possessions which could threaten the British Empire. In 1904, the Entente Cordiale between Britain and France was signed. They put aside their colonial differences. By 1907, this had been extended to a triple entente, which also included Russia. These alliances by no means committed their members to a course of war, but it did make countries feel more safe, and it made countries then act in a way which could actually threaten the other alliance a little bit more. This was compounded as both sides sought to increase their armaments, both on land and at sea. The build-up of armies was a means by which countries could feel more secure. Politicians and arms manufacturers encouraged this greater growth of the armed forces. This was particularly prevalent in Germany, who took great pride in the strength of their army. Conscription was also introduced, which meant that across Europe, more and more men had military training and were prepared in the use of arms. Between 1900 and 1914, five of the six great powers all increased the size of their armies. Only Britain failed to, and they didn't even introduce conscription like the rest of them. Britain's key concern instead was with their navy. The Germans had started to build up their navy from 1898 onwards, but the rivalry really took off in 1906 with a program of construction of dreadnought battleships. These were the newest and most advanced military technology of their day. Naval rivalry reached its peak in 1909. British public opinion was fearful of Germany overtaking Britain as a naval power. They demanded 8 dreadnoughts. "We want 8 and we won't wait," the slogan said. The government responded, and by 1914, Britain again had a clear lead in the number of dreadnoughts available. The naval race did a great deal to increase tension between Britain and Germany. Neither side really trusted each other, and it also brought Britain much closer relations with France. The arms race was a clear contributor in hostility between the alliances. What we find is that a certain series of crises made the tension between the two sides even greater. Here we will look at events that took place in Morocco and also in the Balkans. In 1905, Morocco was still an independent country in Africa, one of the very few remaining, but the French were looking to increase their influence and control. The Kaiser visited Morocco in 1905 and pledged to the Moroccans that he would support their independence. This annoyed the French greatly. A conference was held at Algeciras in order to discuss the Moroccan issues. At this conference, Britain stood by the French and reinforced their position. Germany was to have no say in the running of Morocco. Kaiser had wanted to test Anglo-French resolve, and he found that it was stronger than he thought it would be. In 1911, the French intervened in Morocco again to help put down a revolt against the Sultan. This was France's opportunity to take greater colonial possession of Morocco. France was prepared to offer compensation to other interested countries like Spain and Germany, but the Germans were upset and sent a gunboat, the Panther, to Agadir, a port on the coast of Morocco. This alarmed France and Britain, whose naval base at Gibraltar was pretty close by. To the British, this was another clear case of Germany trying to dominate Europe, and they sided once again very closely with France. Morocco became a French protectorate as a result of the crisis. The Germans again were forced to back down. They were offered some compensation, a little bit of land in Central Africa. Britain and France made a naval agreement whereby the British would patrol the Atlantic and northern coasts of France, and France could look after the Mediterranean. The Germans had again clearly had to back down. The Germans would be determined that this shouldn't happen again. As Morocco was increasing tensions between Germany and Britain and France, the Balkans provided an arena in which Austria-Hungary and Russia would come to great blows. Due to the collapse of Turkish power, Much of the Balkans was now under new governments. One of the new countries to emerge was Serbia, who believed that they should have authority over all Serbians in Eastern Europe. That included ones within Austria-Hungary's borders. In 1908, Bosnia-Herzegovina was annexed by the Austrians. This greatly angered the Serbs, who called upon the Russians for help. Russia were prepared to back up Serbia, but then the Germans gave their support for Austria. They made it clear that if the Russians and Serbians didn't back down, then Austria and Germany would be at war against Russia. Russia would not want to be seen as being so weak the next time. In 1912 and 1913, a series of wars in the Balkans actually left Serbia in a relatively more strong position than she had been in 1908. This means that next time there was a confrontation with Austria, she would be a more formidable opponent. And with the Russians to back them up, conflict in this region seemed to be only a matter of time. That time came when Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated on the 28th of June 1914. So here we see why tension built up in the period leading up to the First World War. The alliance systems, the rivalries between the great powers of Europe, led to many, many different areas of conflict. In the arms race, and in Morocco, and in the Balkans, where eventually it would lead to war. In examination, you could be asked to actually describe a particular aspect like the alliance system or the arms race. Alternatively, these could come as part of a source question or even as an essay where you'll be asked to weigh up two of the different factors against each other, then come to a judgment as to which was more significant for that increase in tension. As you can see, there is a great deal to learn here, and it's very important that you have a thorough knowledge of each aspect. It's very important because without a thorough knowledge of each aspect, you're going to miss out on very valuable marks. Good luck, and goodbye.